97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Thursday has actually picked up some speed, so just know that we are less than 24 hours out from a major impact, actually less than 12 hours out. So that's going to happen. Just south of the eye wall is going to likely lead to the most significant storm surge.
This is going to be a storm of historic proportions with wind, water, and rain.
It certainly doesn't look good. Sue Thomas is back with us this afternoon. Fred, the Hall of Famer, as well. We had your friend Steve Jervey on yesterday, and he was great from Tampa. And he's kind of, you know, in the target zone right now. The only good news is he said he was in Zone C. A, B are evacuation areas, and he didn't have to get out, Sue.
Well, he's a meteorologist in Florida, so you can imagine what his place is. It is not on the beach, and he's got it fortified in every possible way. And he's, you know, if you go to his house, he'll say, okay, and here's, we've got this, just in case the water comes up. So he is prepared as one can be.
Well, and you know, we have a couple of people that are going to join us here this afternoon. Fred, do we have someone who's trying to ride this thing out as
We're
well?
We're going to get her tomorrow.
Okay, because that doesn't seem like a smart thing to do. It really doesn't at this point. We do have Ryan Gable this afternoon. He's the captain of Sea Trek 1. And that's a charter boat near Fort Myers. He moved his vessel upriver. Now, is this the guy that we talked to with Ian a couple years ago, or a different guy?
Oh, rode out Ian and Helene in the boat, so I think that is him.
Okay, yeah. And he had quite a story from Ian a couple years ago, and Deborah Donzi is the one who owns the boat, and she lives here in the St. Louis area. So we'll hook up with Ryan in the 4 o'clock hour and also cover the hurricane from different perspectives this afternoon. Dave Murray's going to join us a little bit after 4:07 as well. Hopefully kill me this afternoon. He's busy. We're going to see if he can jump on with us. We haven't been able to. Fred's trying to get a hold of him.
It's fluid.
Well, in fairness, that happens with Brian. I mean, the guy is working so much, but usually we can pin him down by the time that the show starts, and that has not happened today. Sue, how was jury duty yesterday?
Well, here's the good news. They have redone it in the city of St. Louis. Here's what they used to do. They would call, and mind you, all of us who go to jury duty in the city have been there 80,000 times before you, because you go, we're professionals. You go every 3 years. So instead of calling you on Monday in this huge group and you sit there for 2 days if you don't get called, they have broken it up into small groups. So I didn't go until Tuesday. And when I sat down, they were super friendly and they were thanking us for being there. But then I got called in the first group and we went upstairs for voir dire, which I only know because I watched the TV show Bull, what that means. And they bring us into the courtroom, and it turns out I've never been on a criminal trial, but that's what this was.
You've only been called like for civil cases.
Correct.
Interesting.
And they have you fill out a form. Have you ever been on a jury? Before you even get there, you do it online. Have you been a foreman? And I'm like, yep. I hope that doesn't mean anything, like I should do it again.
And it does.
Well, we sat there, and I can't even say what it is now until the trial is over, because I was a potential jurist. But you sit there and they ask questions of all of you to try to, you know, pick out, the prosecution does and the defense does, and they try to narrow it down. So they kept us there, sent us out to lunch, brought us back in, and then filled in the jury thing. And you just sit there going, please don't be me. Please don't be me. And it wasn't. But yeah, they sat a jury for it, and it's a criminal trial that started. They were supposed to start maybe late yesterday when they let the rest of us go.
But you're not supposed to say anything about it?
Uh-uh.
Why not? I mean, if you get arrested or something, held in contempt, it'd be good for the show. Joe Holloman would likely write about it at the Post-Dispatch. You got to think about the show every once in a while, Sue. I'm just going to say. Come on. Step up your game.
Let me just say this. I am glad not to be on it. And good luck to those who are. And you do want a jury of your peers, but boy, man, that's serious. And they are so much more. It used to be we'd go and watch like a video of Robin Smith tell us stuff, and she was slightly angry. And now it's
Robin Smith, the former Channel 4.
Yeah, former Channel 4, and then maybe a little bit of Julius Hunter. But now they really have streamlined it as best they can.
Well, look at that. That's good to know. Yeah. It's been a while. I said, you know, I went a couple times when I lived in the city, and then I've gotten out of it in the county at least once, and I don't remember ever being called again. So I think one time, and actually that might have been Jeffco. It might not even been, because I lived in Jeffco before I moved back to St. Louis County.
I gotcha.
So that's interesting. Well, we're glad you're back. We missed you yesterday. We did cover quite a bit related to CBS News and some things that happened. I think you're going to find this interesting. We're going to get back into it this afternoon. Have you heard anything about this Tony DeCoppola thing? anything?
No, I don't know anything.
Okay, this is pretty good, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it now because we did it during the monologue, but there's a guy by the name of Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's a liberal, you know, activist, claims to be a journalist, has been a left-winger for many years, did an interview on his new book about Israel, which, by the way, doesn't mention Hamas at all. Like, Hamas isn't mentioned. Iran isn't mentioned. None of this stuff. So Tony DeCoppel, who is the, you know, CBS morning show co-host with Gayle King. By the way, Gayle King is looking like she's 90 years old. Well, I was watching this clip. When I was pulling that clip yesterday, Fred, I'm not even making this up, I kept thinking, who's that old woman sitting next to Tony? It was Gayle King. She didn't look as good. I don't watch that show, so maybe it's happened over time. You know, anyway.
I do know what you're talking about now because I did hear part of that later. And it's very interesting. How dare they actually do real balanced news?
Right. Well, so what happened was, is he did the interview, and then the higher-ups on CBS, they did a conference call to talk to their, you know, reporters to complain about all this, and it sounded like this.
You know, the legacy of CBS News is built on a foundation of neutrality. And we owe it to those who came before us, to ourselves and our viewers, to maintain that standard to the best of our ability.
I mean, that's just comical. It really is. Neutrality on CBS News. This is the same, you know, group that hosted last week's vice presidential debate. Did you watch that? I'd love to ask that woman who runs the news division that question. Wait, how are you actually ripping on Tony DeCoppel because little young progressive, you know, do-gooders in your newsroom said, we didn't like Tony's question of Ta-Nehisi, right? So that's really... That really is kind of amazing when you think about it. And that's the reason that they want to take him out. But everybody else gets to do what they want. Now, here's the other thing that was kind of interesting about this, Sue. And you know, I've mentioned Bill Whitaker's name quite a bit at 60 Minutes. And I've said you can't really trust 60 Minutes because we've kind of seen examples of that here in St. Louis with Mr. Whitaker in particular doing a story about Kim Gardner that was completely unfair to our area. And they never came back and rectified that when she was finally booted out of office. But he sits down with Kamala, actually asks her some tough questions the other night. And, and I don't know that she did very
answer.
Well. That. Now,
I mean,
last night, she was on Stephen Colbert's show.
You asked for Miller Highlight. You asked for Miller Highlight.
Okay, the last time I had beer was at a baseball game with Doug.
Cheers. That tastes like the beautiful city of Milwaukee,
the
Wisconsin.
Champagne and beer.
Well, it's weird that she's not drinking Budweiser or Busch Light because Missouri's not a swing state like Wisconsin. So that seems rather convenient. Stephen asked a question last night.
You are a member of the president administration. Mm-hmm. Under a Harris administration, what would the major changes be and what would stay the same?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
I know.
And so that would be one change in terms of. But also, I think it's important to say with, you know, 28 days to go, I'm not Donald Trump.
Okay. I don't even know. That's her answer.
And people clap. I'm like, what is happening?
I don't know. I really don't know at this point. I'm going to try to hold on to hope here, Sue. I really am. You know, I've been thinking about this race for a long time. We all have been thinking about this race. We are now less than 4 weeks away from Election Day. People are voting right now. This week, they're starting to really vote in some areas. But I'm this may be bad news for Trump because my gut checks are usually very, very wrong. But I am feeling that there is momentum in his direction. Just if for no other reason, just looking at the country right now and how misguided it's been over the last few years. And people know that. They feel the difference when it comes to crime, certainly the economy. They try to spin this every way they can. It tells, and I think it should tell us a lot, that Harris is going on and doing more interviews because I think she has to. There has been, you know, feedback in the polling that shows that people don't really know who she is and they don't trust her. So now she's out. And you can't, from a political strategy standpoint, you can't necessarily fault her for going on the comfortable shows because they know what they're doing. They're trying to get, you know, those audiences engaged, even though you might be able to say, look, those people are voting for Harris and Biden anyway. Well, they're not voting for Trump, maybe, but that doesn't mean they're going to show up on Election Day. So turnout is a big part of the entire equation. But, you know, one of the things that they're doing right now, and I don't think it's going to work, they're trying to claim, the administration is, oh, here, this is good. They did this a couple hours ago. They did this FEMA briefing. And during the FEMA briefing, they aired this on Fox Live. You had Harris on the phone. It was a video thing. And Biden as well. So you had the FEMA directors and all the emergency management people giving updates on the hurricane, on Milton. And then every once in a while, Harris would ask a question or Joe would ask a question. They were the dumbest questions because I don't even know if they were really paying attention. They just wanted to make sure that their voice was in there. Now, at one point, I don't know what to make of this because there was a point where she sort of, she kind of covers her mouth here. This is what it sounds
like. We really got to watch those areas and those communities. So it takes quite a while for that water to...
You can hear in the background say it's a live broadcast. Some people are saying, well, she's being fed the questions, et cetera. I don't know about that. That just could have been a distraction. But it was hilarious. And, you know, Sue, one thing that this reminded me of when I was watching the president and the vice president today with FEMA is how much they did that a few weeks ago with Helene. Remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait.
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
If you missed anything, podcast The Mark Reardon Show.
Stop it. That was not supposed to happen there. My goodness. I was supposed to do this. I was looking for this thing here. Yeah. That did not happen. So the mantra now is about disinformation. That's what they're saying. Anything that you've heard about a lapse in the response or not a prompt response by the federal government, well, that's just disinformation. That is just misinformation. Uh-huh. You got Mayorkas out there saying this. You have Harris and Biden as well. Here's Mayorkas.
That false information is only hurting survivors in need of help, and it is also hurting the first responders who are so bravely risking their lives to deliver that help.
Now, one thing that they're pointing to, and unfortunately I'm going to have to agree on this one, and I don't really understand it. I've avoided over the years. There's certain members of Congress that I think are crazy. Mary Miller in Illinois is one of them. All right. Every once in a while, she's on the right side of the issues, but she's kind of crazy. The people in Illinois don't like me to say that, but she's crazy. So is Marjorie Taylor Greene. And, you know, I like her every once in a while because she stands up on the right issues and she has a hell of a workout routine. She really does. I'm impressed by that. They did a story on her on 60 Minutes and she's got guns that are bigger than mine, which, by the way, for those of you listening and you haven't seen me, it wouldn't be too difficult to do. Right. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, and this is the other thing. Maybe some of you can help me out there. OK, maybe some of you can help me. I'm always looking for a different side of the story. Right. I really am. Biden and Harris say something. Wait a second. I'm going to try to check that. My gut tells me that when things don't make sense, there has to be more to the story. And with Trump, it's almost always the case. And a couple of perfect examples would be what happened at the debate with their eating and cats and dogs. He has difficulty sort of expanding on something like that and explaining it in a concise fashion because it's a little difficult to do that. And he throws that out there and everybody jumps on it
right.
And does stuff like that. Right. Well, that's something that happens certainly with misinterpretation of Trump. And maybe there's no better example than Charlottesville. Right. Because the very fine people thing was completely taken out of context. So maybe this was taken out of context. I don't know. I really don't. But have you heard this? She thinks that, here's her tweet. I'll just read her tweet from October 7th, 7:26 p.m. Climate change is the new COVID, which, by the way, I don't disagree with that. Ask your government if the weather is manipulated or controlled. Did you ever give permission to them to do it? Are you paying for it? Of course you are. I don't know what. So she tweets something out and she says that this happened on CBS 9 years ago, that they were and there's a Norm O'Donnell clip where they're talking about how lasers were controlling the weather. I don't know a whole lot about that, but she sort of doubles down on these conspiracy theories. Maybe someone can guide me into information from MGT that doesn't make her look crazy, because that makes her look crazy. And by the way, it makes Republicans look ridiculous because it gives Harris and Biden the opportunity to say, look at these kooks, when they're the kooks, we know that. Look at these kooks on the right. They think that the government is somehow controlling and manipulating the weather and causing Category 4 and 5 hurricanes. It's nonsense. And she should realize that. If she's got half a brain, she should realize that saying things like that, especially 4 weeks before an election, is not going to help you very much. I don't know what the win is there. But again, she's crazy. Now, one more crazy story here for us this afternoon before we get to, I think John Lott's coming up here. This is a University of Kansas, a KU down the road there, and not exactly down the road, Lawrence, Kansas, not too far away from here, would be about 5 hours, just west of Kansas City. Here's what this professor said to his class this week.
Guys are smarter than girls. You got some serious problems. That's what frustrates me there are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
Well, unfortunately, it went viral, and the deans have heard it. And here's the statement from the University of Kansas via their ex, formerly Twitter, a statement from the university regarding a classroom video. The university is aware of a classroom video in which an instructor made an inappropriate reference to violence. The instructor is being placed on administrative leave pending further investigation. The instructor, this is my favorite part, the instructor offers his sincerest apologies and deeply regrets the situation. Are you kidding me? You could hear his tone right there.
Exactly.
One thing we know for sure is that he doesn't deeply regret anything unless his ass is canned. Then he might deeply regret, you know, joking about it, right? Saying, oh, I don't want it on the tape. They say his intent was to emphasize his advocacy for women's rights and equality. Sure it was, dude. And he recognizes that he did a very poor job of doing so. Well, on that, I'm going to agree. The university has established a process for situations like this and will follow that process. Now, I get that you have to have some sort of due process when you're an elite professor sure. at a university. But you know what? The process should be here. Your ass is canned. Find another job, hopefully not in academia, but they'll all protect him. They love this stuff. So they'll kind of find a way to say, oh, he went through the process. He's so sorry about this. We're going to let him indoctrinate the students further.
Get more at 971talk.com.